I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
It does not matter. At some point, your parents will become your children.
That is a whole fact. I had no idea. And when I say that we have about 6 kids, that's what I mean.
8. Dead ass.
It's 8?
Oh, yeah. My parents are there, too.
I forget. We be living with mine, though. Baby, the impact is different.
Hey, I'm Kadeen.
And I'm DeVal.
And we're the Ellises.
You may know us from posting funny videos with our boys.
And reading each other publicly as a form of therapy.
Wait, I make you need therapy?
Most days.
Wow.
Oh, and one more important thing to mention. We're married.
Yes, sir, we are. We created this podcast to open dialogue about some of life's most taboo topics.
Things most folks don't want to talk about.
Through the lens of a millennial married couple. Deadass is a term that we say every day. So when we say deadass, we're actually saying facts. 100. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We about to take pillow talk to a whole new level.
Deadass starts right now.
Story time.
Story time. Oh, man, we got mad stories. If we really think about both of our parents as a collective and then as individuals, we have so many stories about them.
We got mad stories.
Where we've had to intervene.
Yes.
What came to mind today?
This story is a funny story. It's a funny story because I think I've already told a story about when my dad was in the hospital.
With his diabetes. Scare. Okay, gotcha. Right? Well, not scare, but the revelation.
And I threatened him at that time.
Yes, you did.
And I told him, like, yo, when something's wrong, when something's going on, you have to tell me, like, right, in real time, right? Right. So fast forward, my sister, you know, she stays by my parents sometimes. Mm-hmm. And my sister, like me, enjoys the greenery at times. But she's a little bit different than I am. Because she put it in a lemonade form. Uh-huh. Or like in a gummy form. And she'll take her two before she go to sleep. Uh-huh. So she made a lemonade. Right?
Oh, I know this story.
And she put the lemonade in my parents' fridge.
Uh-huh. Didn't stand a chance.
So, yo, these stories always be wild. But she put the lemonade in my parents' fridge. My dad didn't know that the lemonade was as potent as it was. Mm-hmm. So my sister was like, Scoop, you need to relax. Just get a little cup, right? My father likes to get big. My father collects all the big Burger King cups.
Yeah,
like the 24-ounce super size.
Yeah.
So he puts a big cup with ice and everything. He's sitting down enjoying his lemonade. Ooh, my lemonade good. And if y'all know my father, y'all know that he has his own theme music. Whenever he walks around, it's like he'd be like, doo, 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 doo.
Yo, if he was a cartoon character, that would be like every time he entered the room, it would be that.
So he drinks a whole cup of lemonade. He said that he started feeling hot. He was just like, man, what's going on? I need to go lay down. So he went upstairs. He said while he was going upstairs, the staircase was moving from left to right. And it felt like the walls was closing in, right? So at this time, he's explaining to my sister, like, yo, like, what's in that lemonade, man? Like, I had a cup of lemonade. And my sister's just like, how much lemonade did you drink? And he drank like half the pitcher of lemonade in one cup.
You already know. So then Scoop not going to have any less.
Right. So then my sister's like, yo, Scoop, you'll be fine. You need to lay down. But now, as you know, you guys know, you get paranoid when you get into this situation.
Right.
So now he's paranoid. And this part is the part that was funny to me. He goes to Tori. He said, grabs Tori. He says, listen to me. I can't die. Because if I die, DeVal gonna kill me. Which is hilarious because the roles have reversed. Because when you're a child, the first thing you think about is if something happens to me, my parents are gonna kill me.
Right.
But now here's my dad saying to my sister, yo, I gotta be okay because if I die, DeVal's gonna kill me.
Double kill, double whammy.
So now I'm like the parent now.
That's a fact.
Yes.
All right. Karaoke time.
Karaoke
time. So when DeVal asked me earlier, like, what do you think we should do for karaoke for this episode? This is the first song that came to mind. We are the world.
You're so stupid.
We are the children. We are the ones to make a brighter day. So let's start giving.
There's a choice we're making.
Lord, there's a choice.
What's the next part?
We're saving
our own lives. And it's true to make a brighter day. Just you and me.
Yo, you've been getting into these karaoke songs and I love
just
that.
Just you and me. I wanted to be a singer at some point in my life until I realized
it ain't too
I can't
late,
sing.
Baby. It ain't too late.
It's
Listen.
Not too late. I'm at a point now where I feel like anybody can do anything as long as you take the time to invest in the skill set.
If you want to do it, absolutely.
Now, I'm probably never going to be Michael Jackson. I'll never be Usher. But I can be DeVusher.
You know absolutely what I'm saying? Could.
I can. I, as long as I can learn how to hold a note.
Hold a note. And you can dance, clearly.
And I can, you know what I'm saying? Enough. Shown. I can dance enough.
You've shown.
You know what I'm saying? So maybe I won't be a pop star, but I could, you know, at least hold a note. So
You can be my pop star, right?
Look, don't look at me. You got that lip plumping stuff on your mouth.
Listen,
your lips is tingling.
No,
talk
real
about
quick, y'all. So Nick sent me a package, a PR package, and I was like, oh, this is a nice little shade to put on today. And I saw that it had like a little like plumper thing. You know, some of these glosses have that. So I put it on and my lips started burning. And I was like, babe, do my lips look
no,
okay?
it's really a lip plumping thing that
apparently, yeah, because when I used to work for Mac, there was something called Plush Glass, and that had like a plumping agent in it. So it kind of gave the lips like a bit of a fuller look, but yeah.
That seemed dangerous. That seemed dangerous.
I don't know. I was skeptical if you put that at on first.
And we go to do some things, don't nobody want to feel no tingling in certain areas.
I mean,
areas.
It's going to get a little plumper.
I don't want to feel no tingling. But the tingling is like, that's going scary because you was nervous here.
I was nervous for a second. And then I opened the PR package and I gave some to Tribble. I was, you know, sharing is caring. And Tribble was like, oh, you're going to be good. Like, I wore the other one and it was fine. Just don't put it on the outside of your lips. I'm like, okay.
Oh, at least y'all know that. You know don't what? Put the plumping agent on the outside of your lips because it turned red, right?
It's like, yeah, I just like the color, but goddamn, I don't know. You know what? Let's take a quick break. Let's go pay some ads. Let me go look at my lips, make sure they are still on my face and that they're not taking over. And we'll be back.
Hey, what's good, y'all? I think it's important for you to understand why Black representation in media is important. It's important because the media represents how people view us. And it's important that they understand that Black people are not a monolithic people.
That is a fact. And the next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truth.
Black Stories, Black Truth is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story.
In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience.
Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Y'all, let me tell you, after the Love Against the World tour, my social battery is depleted, drained, no energy. How do you feel, babe?
I don't know. You know, it can be easy for people to ignore their social battery and spread themselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up one after another in the wintertime.
That's a fact. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge after that? Maybe you thrive around people. Or maybe you need some more alone time like me.
You know what? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/deadass today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/deadass.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. And get this. Nair, yes, Nair, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E because it's gentle on my skin. And down to the body cream, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, which is a modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Okay? It works in as little as 3 minutes, no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, y'all, we're back. And today we're talking about parenting our parents. So I feel like once you reach a certain age, that if your parents are still with you, it then becomes a large responsibility for you to ensure that your parents are good. And Deval and I are in the thick of it, with my parents here living with us full time, and your parents still in New York, but back and forth often. Your dad's retired. Mom is finally retiring this year.
Yes, thank the Lord.
And we're super excited, and we're hoping, we're trying to like coerce everybody to move down to where we are.
that's the plan.
So that way, you know, the village extension only becomes more extended. And I'm looking forward to just delegating one kid per parent, and then we rotate. I feel like every like week we just rotate, right?
Yeah.
So like Ma gets one, Scoop gets one, my dad, and then your mom.
Mm-hmm.
You got with that kid for the week, and then we just rotate.
So you get a chance to spend time with each child.
Has like an individual one-on-one thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so back to story time real quick. That was hilarious because I remember when it happened in real time, and your sister could not stop laughing when she called about it. But it's true. We're at the point now where we are having to say to our parents, you need to take care of yourself. Yeah. These are the things that you need to do in order to do X, Y, Z. Let's take a look at your finances, your assets. All of those things are a part of the process, I feel like.
Yeah.
At least if you're invested in the well-being of your parents, or probably feel like they need the help.
I'm glad you brought that up, because there is a serious thing that I do want to discuss, because everything's always jokes with us. Mm-hmm. But on a more serious note, we talked in a previous episode about, you know, not owing your parents anything,
mm-hmm.
right? Especially when it comes to finances or
was that
a lifestyle.
Was that a sacrifice episode?
Yeah, that was a sacrifice episode.
Right.
But when it comes to this, I do feel like we do owe our parents.
Oh, absolutely. You know, absolutely.
Our parents had a responsibility to make sure that we grow up to become who we become.
Yes.
Right? And during that time, they do sacrifice a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I'm not talking about just money and time, but they also sacrifice a lot of their health, right? Mm-hmm. We've been in hustle mode for the last 15 years.
Yes.
Not sleeping as much, not eating as much as we supposed to, eating too much of bad junk food because it's the only thing that's readily available. I feel like once you become an adult and you learn more about the human body and you learn more about life, it's now your responsibility to not only pay it forward, but pay it back.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's going to be things that we know now that our parents didn't know. And it's our responsibility to be like, hey, mom and dad, you don't have to eat that.
Yeah.
Or you don't have to drink that. Or you don't have to take that medication. Like, times have changed.
Right.
And I feel like more adult children mm-hmm. need to own up to that responsibility rather than passing it off and saying, well, my parents are grown, they'll be fine.
No, I agree with you 100%. I even just think about my mom, who's still in the vein of wanting to make sure that I'm okay. When she found out about her skin issue and she had to go to the holistic doctor, she then sparked us going to get our blood work done because she's like, hey, I don't want you to end up here. Like, we know we have the same blood type. We both have the sickle cell trait. Like, she said, there's so many similarities with our makeup that I don't want you to have a heart attack at 54 years old like I did because of the stress level and the lack of sleep and a terrible job. Like, I don't want you to be here. So I feel like the reciprocity in it is me now making sure that she's okay now that we know the things that she is allergic to, I'm allergic to, that we can both kind of do this together. So we kind of developed a little bit more of a camaraderie too when it came to health, and then we kind of pulled you along.
Yep.
So this whole household now is trying to make sure that we're all okay. Same thing with my dad, you know, had an issue recently. He was just dehydrated, not drinking enough water.
Yeah.
So now it's not just the Val and I parenting. We have the kids parenting my parents
Absolutely.
Now too.
Absolutely.
And they are holding them accountable. So I got my dad a gallon jug, and it's one that goes by time. So it's like 7 a.m., 9 a.m., 11 a.m. And don't let them kids come home from school by 3 p.m. and pop it in and drink up to 3 o'clock.
They're going to be on them.
They're going to be on him, especially Cairo. Cairo and my dad have like a really cute special bond. And Cairo's like, Papa, you didn't drink your water. You're behind. Here, sit here and drink this now. Do you want a liquid IV in it? It'll make it taste better.
Cairo's going to grow up to be a nurse. Watch.
He probably will.
Watch.
I can actually see that for him. Like one of the nice, you know, muscular buff athletes that became a nurse. Like for sure. That's totally going to be him.
I can see it.
But I say that to say the spirit of nurturing and the spirit of love and making sure that our parents are okay, like our children, is something that transcends not just our generation, but we're also showing our children to care for your parents and your grandparents.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that point up because I want to give a mention to Tribble to put this down. I want to do a podcast on the advantages of a multi-generational home. Having your grandparents and your parents and their children all existing in the same space, even if they don't live there.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about trying to build a community with our parents and aunts and uncles and stuff. So I do want to touch on that, Tribble. Just remind me that later. But there's something that you brought up, and it was how important it is for your mom, once she figured out something, she told us. The reason why this topic is important to me is because you can help yourself save money and help your parents save money if you live a healthier lifestyle and make adjustments earlier, right? So for example, I watched my parents become caregivers to my dad's parents.
Yeah.
You know, my dad's parents moved in with my parents when they were in their late 70s, turning 80s. My parents were in their 50s, you know, about to be 60s. And my parents took my grandparents in. During the time, my parents, because they were still working, weren't able to give the type of care necessary, so they had to get a nurse to come in. My grandfather's a retired vet. You know, he fought in the Korean War, so he had VA services. But some of these things do have costs. And what I'm realizing now is, with my parents, is if I can get my parents to change their dietary habits and change their lifestyle, when it comes time for us to have to take care of them, because let's be honest, and this is not a morbid discussion, this is just a reality.
Yeah.
Life has to end for everyone at some point.
Yeah.
And you want to be in a place where they live the fullest life that they could ever live, as healthy as a life. And for me, the way I want to go out would be, I'm with my grandkids, my great-great-grandkids. Me and Kay are sitting there on the porch watching them do their thing. We're about 130 years old. Kay, you know,
I'll be
walks
131st.
By. You'll be 130. You will be 131.
You, right, there we go.
You'll be 131. Okay. You're going to walk by. I'm going to ask you to drop it. You're going to drop it. It's going to take you about 2 days to get back up. But it's fine because we ain't got nowhere to go.
I'm going to still have a little oil in my coil.
You will. You will.
You know
the way,
I will. You know
the
what
way
saying?
We take care of ourselves.
Yes.
But you'll go inside. I'll have this beautiful picture of my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids. I'll rest my head back and I'll just go to sleep. Like, to me, that's the way I want to go out. So that's the way I want to go out. That's the way I want my parents to go out. That's the way I want your parents to go out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I just want it to be peaceful. I want to be able to see the people that I love and the people that I've created, you know, with the person that I've created all of this with. But I want to be healthy. I want to just go in my sleep, let the air just pass, you know, and not deal with so much. You know, we have so many families who have to deal with health issues because
that's a fact. And it's such a burden.
Man, and it's a burden for not only for the people taking care of them. It's a burden for them.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's laboring.
It really is laboring. I know. Yeah, we're seeing it even now with even my grandmother, who's, mm-hmm. you know, declining rapidly. And it's
shout
a lot.
Out to Grandma Brian.
Yeah, y'all know about how grandma I feel Brian. About my grandma. She's been with us for so many good things. I think that's the consolation that I feel is knowing mm-hmm. that while she was here mm-hmm. and while she was moving and shaking, like, we had such a good time together. Like, she came up for, I mean, pretty much from November to January, several years. For every child. She was at home with us when Kaz was born. She was able to come to the house mm-hmm. that we're in now when Dakota was a baby, get yep. in the pool. You know, so there were so many great things that happened before she declined. But at 86, it's like, wow, I'm looking at all yeah. of the health issues that she had. Yeah. She had 6 children, was pregnant with 8, 2 passed away yeah. at birth. But that's 8 pregnancies. I remember after I had Dakota, she was like, okay, honey, that's enough. You've done well. And I was like, what right. do you mean? She said, 4 is a nice number. Mm-hmm. I did double and I feel it in my body. Mm. You did good. Stop mm-hmm. now. And I was like, all right. So grandma said, pretty much don't have any more kids but I'm just thinking about the strength.
Yeah.
I mean, she used to work nights, yeah. You know, as a patient care tech, you know, the lack of sleep, just the tough life that she lived. And I'm like, yeah. man, she lived to 86, you know, and she's still ticking and she's still pushing and she's still fighting. And
yeah.
I'm looking at the health declines later on in life. And I'm just thinking about how things would have been different for her had she known about the things we know now.
Yeah.
Taking our health into consideration. And it's kind of like a space where we're in like this weird, like, people who are older than us in that generation are living longer. But then now I think we're battling with, you know, food that's not that's super processed.
Right.
You know, you don't know if something is organic or not. You know, you're just trying to do your best within America to figure out what is the right things to eat and where things are sourced. Like, you spend so much time now learning about the things you shouldn't be doing and you shouldn't be eating that when it comes to health, it's like an uphill battle all the time.
Well, I'll give a tip to pause to all of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Most diseases, I think it's over 85% of diseases can be cured with proper hydration mm-hmm. and sleep
mm-hmm.
and exercise,
mm-hmm.
right? So I know what we eat is super duper important. Like, and for us, like, since we've changed our diet, our bodies have been completely different.
Yeah.
But let's not forget the fact that you can do yourself a service mm-hmm. by getting more sleep,
mm-hmm.
drinking water, and finding 20 minutes a day to move your body.
That's what we've been
and,
doing.
And when we say move your body, it doesn't mean, you know, go do muscle ups and burpees and sprint on the treadmill. And No. Do some body weight squats. Walk outside briskly.
Mm-hmm.
A brisk walk is not the same. Yeah, get your heart rate up so you can work on your circulation. Do some push-ups. If you can't do some push-ups, you can lean up against something, do push-ups against the wall. But the most movement that you can do in those 20 minutes will be really good for you. And every day, be consistent. And we're on your parents because they live here
mm-hmm.
about doing it. I call my parents
mm-hmm.
all the time. The way my mom used to be with me, the minute I get on the phone, you ain't sleepy like time. Now, when she get on the phone, I'm like, Ma, you taking medication today?
Mm-hmm.
Your foot, you swollen. You're supposed to swollen. How's your cholesterol?
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, I'm like, oh, my, how the tables have turned now.
Yeah, that's
now
true.
You like, I'm a nag. Now I'm nagging you because that's important to me. My father, the same thing.
I just also think that we owe it to our children to be the healthiest versions of ourselves as much as we can control, because we can become a burden to them when they're older.
Yeah.
They're going to be living their lives. Yeah. That's why some people end up in a freaking nursing home, because it's like
their
children don't have the capacity or they don't have the finances to be able to offer the care to their parents mm-hmm. that they need when they reach a certain age. So it's our responsibility, if we know, to take care of ourselves and to do better so that our children aren't felt like they have a burden or this no other way to
an obligation.
Like obligation. That's the word I'm looking for. Yes. An obligation to make sure that their parents are okay because we didn't do our part.
Well,
I think that's selfish.
I agree with you on that, but I remember my father going through this
mm-hmm.
with my grandmother, my grandfather. When my grandfather passed away, he passed away right after they had decided that my grandmother, who's still suffering from dementia, needed to be in a home
mm-hmm.
because she needed 24-hour
care.
Yep. And the truth of the matter is, when both adults work
mm-hmm.
and there's another adult in the home dealing with dementia, for some people who don't know, can become extremely violent.
And dangerous,
right? And dangerous. My grandmother didn't become violent, But it became dangerous if she's trying to use the stove, forgetting things on the stove, putting, right. you know, putting the, for example, this happened in Soul Food mm-hmm. when Big Mama mm-hmm. put the mitt on the stove and it started to burn.
Right.
Things like that happened with
or
people with dementia.
Or wandering away from home.
Remember?
Open the door.
Well, Nana felt safer in her room. Mm-hmm. But my Uncle Charles, shout out to my Uncle Chuck, Charles yeah. Ellis Jr., he started early onset dementia, mm-hmm. and a lot of it had to deal with stress in his 50s, mm-hmm. but also diet. We talked about diet.
Yeah.
He was a wanderer, mm-hmm. so he would just leave the home.
Right.
And my cousin Kimberly had to become his sole caretaker, mm-hmm. and she's a single mom with two teenage kids.
Right.
So they had to make the tough decision to put my uncle in a home, and that's probably the best decision they made, not yes. only just for him, but for the family, mm-hmm. you know, like for the entire family, for her to feel better, for her kids to not have to worry yeah. where's grandpa going to be all the time.
Right.
But even the people we bought this home for, mm-hmm. there's a room downstairs where the door was sealed in mm-hmm. because his mother-in-law
oh, yes.
was a wanderer,
yeah.
and she would leave the home and they had right. to come out and find her a couple times.
Right.
But I say all that to say this, like there is a stigma in our culture mm-hmm. about not sending your people to homes.
To homes, yep.
You know, don't send me to no home.
Yep.
You know, or you it's like only that. Rich you, people send their right. parents to homes because they have the money to send them to a home. But
or if someone doesn't care and it's just like, oh, whatever, I'm going to send you to a home to right. rot. Like,
which does happen,
you know, mm-hmm.
because your mother worked in
long-term care for a long time. Yep. And I worked there for a little bit in high school. But, so, and I would see it too.
But you're also a good example of when you have a director of nursing who cares, who actually cares, mm-hmm. you can see the difference. And that's important that we talk to people. Like if you're going to put your mom or dad or someone you love in a home, mm-hmm. do the research to see what the care is like.
For
Don't
sure.
just go online and pick something that's close by the house and just send them. Mm-hmm. Do the research. Find out exactly what's going on here. Do mm-hmm. they go outside often? Mm-hmm. Do they have nurses that care? Mm-hmm. For me, I would find out how are the nurses taken care of more than anything else?
Yep.
Because if the nurses are taken care happy. Of, mm-hmm. they're going to take care of the patients.
No, that's a really good point to make. Yeah, yeah, with my mom in long-term care for years, my brother's in long-term care as mm-hmm. well now too. My sister was in there for a little bit. And it definitely makes a difference in the quality of life.
Yes.
Because when you love somebody as much as we love, for example, your Nana or your Uncle Charles,
yeah.
you want to make sure that they are taken care of. And then also the family needs to be present yeah. when they can just to ensure that everything is going smoothly. So let's pick up on some facts and stats real quick. Going from child to caregiver and taking on almost a parenting role for your parents can feel a little disorienting for some adults. Preparing for this adjustment, though, is necessary.
Yeah.
90% of elderly parents would rather live with their adult children than in assisted living spaces, but most adults are not prepared or equipped to support them.
And that's what we just spoke about. You and I have created a space mm-hmm. here mm-hmm. for your parents. And realistically, if we were being honest, for me in particular, mm-hmm. it was more of a selfish thing mm-hmm. because I didn't want anyone else taking care of our children. Mm-hmm. So it just made the most sense to have the people who took care of us take yeah. care of our children. And
yeah.
Kadeen and I have even spoken about that. And I want to just offer this as an opportunity for other people. When you work as a community, right? And when I mean community, a family, mm-hmm. your parents, us, my parents, our brothers and sisters, I challenge you to create a life plan that keeps your family close by. Mm-hmm. You know, because your parents are prideful people. And as much as they enjoy living here, I know, like you said, your mom also wanted her own space for a while. Mm-hmm. It would be dope if we could get Mimi and Papa Scoop and Nana a home mm-hmm. 5 minutes away.
Right.
Or even within biking distance for the mm-hmm. kids. Mm-hmm. So that it's like, yo, you want to go see your grandparents? They're right there. Because the way we grew up, which is kind of random, but we grew up living 6 blocks away from each other.
I know.
Then my brother lives across the street
yeah.
from my parents. Mm-hmm. So when Jackson and Kyra and Kaz want to just go see one grandparent to the another, we just walk. Mm-hmm. When Aiden wants to come over, he just walks across the street. Mm-hmm. There's value in that.
Yeah.
Because now you can take care of someone, but they can be in their own space.
And feel comfortable.
And,
yeah.
And it's not easy. And I don't want to, I'm not shaming any adult parents, adults who have to take care of grandparents. Mm-hmm. That's not an easy feat.
Nope.
I've watched my parents come back home from work, and then as soon as they come in, let me go check on the parents downstairs. Mm-hmm. Then you spend 3 hours down there cleaning up and trying to make sure they're good. Then your mm-hmm. kids come home. Now it's 8 o'clock. Your kids are home from practice and stuff, mm-hmm. and it's like, let me take care of the kids. Mm-hmm. Then before you know it, it's 11:30 at night. You haven't taken care of yourself.
Yeah.
And you know what happens? Now you become a grandparent. Your kids are grown. You haven't taken yourself. Your health is declining, and your kids go through the same thing.
Cycle of things. And I mean, also too, with having that community and having everybody close by, mm-hmm. I look at how, for example, when we left Brooklyn mm-hmm. and we moved to LA, and my mom came with us because we were transitioning and we didn't have any help there. So mm-hmm. that was supposed to be, you know, a temporary situation yeah. for a transition. But my dad, who didn't come with us full time, he was kind right. of back and forth. We noticed even a decline in his health. Because he wasn't up and moving like he was when the kids were with him.
Absolutely.
Jackson and him had such a cute bond because he yep. would take Jackson to school, pick him yep. up, bring him by the house, mm-hmm. or he would bring them back home to my house. He would sit with us for a little bit. He would help with dinner and bedtime. Same thing with my mom. And I noticed how that just kept him moving. It gave him purpose. It gave him a reason to get up and get moving.
I'm glad you brought that up. Continue.
Same thing here, right?
Remember the purpose thing you just said.
Gotcha.
Keep
but
going.
Even just here now in our home. So Papa's now with us full time. And mm-hmm. it's funny because at first he fought coming down here, but then I think he realized like the kids yeah. are here, the grandkids yeah. are here, we have the space. So now I'm like, the fun way for him to get his exercise in or his movement in is I stick the Coda on him. Coda, tell Papa you want to go outside. So Coda will grab his shoes, yep. grab Papa's shoes, yep. take it to him, and then they go for walks.
Yeah.
You know, he picks the kids up from school. He drops them in the morning. He gets up in the morning. He has yeah. his routine, and that routine has helped him leaps and bounds with his own health because he has a sense of purpose and he's moving and is keeping his mind sharp. So putting the older generation with the younger generation sometimes is the best form of like therapy for both of them.
I'm glad you brought up purpose because this is a huge point. The quality of life and the will to live is all intertwined with purpose. If you want to see your adult, if you're an adult and you have parents who are getting of age, continue to give them purpose mm-hmm. and watch how their health will continue to grow.
Yeah.
Because if you have a will to live, you have a reason to eat right. You have a reason to get up and walk.
Yes.
When you get older, and this is just a truth, I watched it with Pastor Boyd, who was, you know, one of my mentors growing mm-hmm. up. He used to say to me all the time, I was like, dang, Pastor Boyd, you going to live to see my kids have kids because he's right. really old. He said, I hope not. I said, what you mean you hope not? He said, my body hurts. All the people I grew up with and loved and took care of and built stuff are all dead.
Yeah.
And he said to me at that point, too. He said, you know, when you watch all the people who you grew up with and laughed and joked with and loved, you know, pass away, and now you have a next generation and everyone makes you feel like, you know, a burden, you know, you kind of lose that will to be here. It's like, yeah. I just want to go where my friends are. And when he yeah. said it, though, I know he was older. And mm-hmm. when you get older, you get a lot more sentimental and you say yeah. things, but you say how you feel.
That's true.
You know?
That is true.
And when he said that to me, I was like, man, that really struck a chord because I do look at your dad and look at grandma. Mm-hmm. You know, grandma has quote unquote been on her last leg for some time now. Mm-hmm. Every time you go down there, your sister, the grandkids go down there.
I was going to say that.
Your aunts, they go down there somewhere.
Cousins.
Your grandmother finds this life. And then before you know
the
it, it's like
to want to continue. Yeah.
Y'all called us and said this might be the last time.
Yeah.
For the third time.
Right.
We're going on 18 months. And every time we get down here, now she's walking around saying, have you eaten? Have
right.
you eaten?
Where's the baby? Where's this one? Where's that one?
Her purpose.
My dad's mom was the same thing.
Yes.
I see it literally in this past week. We got a call last Sunday. Mm-hmm. Grandma's not doing well. Everybody make your way down. We probably have about a week. That was a Sunday. Mom and I pick up. We drive down there on the Monday with Coda. She sees us walk in the room. You reach already.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you knew we were coming.
Mine's still
but
there.
But even knowing yep. that we were coming gave her that
purpose.
Yes. And we were there with her. I was there for 2 days, you know, well, overnight. And then I ended up leaving my mom there with Dakota. And then my mom comes home this Sunday. So she was there for a full week. Mm-hmm. And here we are on a Wednesday and grandma's tanked again. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, man, I can't help but think that there's a correlation there. you know,
absolutely
having the love and the family absolutely surrounding you and just everyone pouring into you and wanting to see it and not wanting to miss absolutely anything, you know, like that in itself is amazing to watch.
We might have talked about this, but we watched my grandfather transition.
We sure did.
With COPD. Mm-hmm. COPD, for those who don't know, it's the feeling of it is like there's razor blades in your lungs. And every time you breathe or inhale, mm-hmm, those razor blades are just moving around in your lungs. It's difficult to breathe.
Yeah.
My grandfather had heart disease, diabetes. He had a colostomy. What is it called? A colostomy bag.
Yeah.
He was like real. His body was really going through a lot from being a war vet.
I was about to say,
taking care of my grandmother while going through all of that.
Yeah.
And part of what I talked about before, nurses not being taken care of. The reason why he had a colostomy bag is because an angry nurse, was going through a lot. She was overworked. I hear she was, because they ended up suing the hospital for what happened to my grandfather. Mm-hmm. But she had worked over 18 hours.
Oh yeah.
And she had to give him an edema.
It's a tough job. Yeah.
And she was aggressive, and he mm-hmm ended up getting an infection from being punctured.
His intestine was ruptured.
That led to, you know, the downward spiral of his health. Mm-hmm. But my grandfather was going through this transition, and mm-hmm he got to a point where he just told my father, "Troy, have mercy." He said, "I'm tired. Let me go." That's what he kept saying. "Let me go. Have mercy." So now my father, the adult, mm-hmm, but he's the patriarch of the family, now has to make a decision of whether or not he's going to, you know, just DNR. They were going to take the oxygen
the
out
and all that. Yeah.
And they pretty much had to tell my father to make a decision. Once we take the oxygen out, he's going to last for maybe two, three days. Guys, my grandfather sat there, tears coming out. All he was saying, you remember being in there, mm-hmm, was, "Have mercy, Lord, have mercy." Because I know his chest was hurting.
Yeah.
They gave him some morphine. "Have mercy." He's crying, but he's kind of like smirking and smiling. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the state that could get to that hospital, mm-hmm, that day drove in. We had cousins from down south who from Virginia drove in 6 hours. We wanted to see Charles. Everybody drove. Once he saw every grandchild, mm-hmm, he said, "Troy, please have mercy." The doctor said, "Once you take the oxygen, it's only going to be a couple days." My grandfather took the oxygen out by himself, smiled at my father, mm-hmm, two tears rolled down, he closed his eyes, and he was gone in 5 minutes.
Crazy.
Which talks to you about the will to live. Mm-hmm. And he saw his family. Mm-hmm. They all came to see him, and he passed with a smile on his face, mm-hmm, and tears rolling down his eyes. Then my father calls us. We had just left the hospital. Yeah. We thought we had a couple days. Right. No, my brother called.
I remember, yeah.
My brother said, "Yo, DeVal, you got to come back. Pop is gone." And then we driving back. And we get there, and it's my aunts, my uncle, a couple of the cousins, me and you. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting there over Pop's body. Mm-hmm. And we're telling stories. Mm-hmm. You know, we're telling stories. We're laughing. We're probably the loudest people in the hospital.
I was so taken aback by it, because I just was also thinking about when my grandmother passed and how distraught I was. Because my you think I'm close to my mom's mom, but my dad's mom and I were like inseparable. Super
tight. When I met you, y'all was super tight.
Oh my God, inseparable. So to be there and witness, like, your grandfather literally is still warm, like he died a couple minutes ago, and y'all are like telling stories and joking. I remember his mouth was like kind of open, and your father kept trying to like close his mouth, and y'all were laughing about that. And I was like, okay, I guess so. Like, everybody deals with death and grief differently, you know. But I think it was also the comfort that y'all felt, knowing that, man, it wasn't sudden, it wasn't tragic.
No.
You know, he left with dignity, the same way he always did. Your grandfather was always just like distinguished. I remember that about him.
Yes. Man.
Like proud and distinguished. And I'm like, man, he went out that way. So that was great to see.
I remember my pops my grandfather didn't want my nan to go to a home. So he took care of her. Mm-hmm. He was like, "I'm going to take care of her." And he did that up until his 70s, when he couldn't no more, when he couldn't physically lift her up and wipe her up and make sure she could go to the bathroom. That's when he decided, and this is what I'm talking about, the will to live. Mm-hmm. Once he was like, "I think you may need to take your mother to a home."
Yes.
Then my grandmother went to a home. Mm-hmm. He went and visited her in the home. And then the minute he saw my grandmother was okay in the home, mm-hmm, that's when his health went like this. Mm-hmm. It's like, I have no purpose now.
Yes.
I was here to take care of her.
There's such an attachment, yeah.
And then his purpose was gone. Then he saw his grandkids, his great-grandkids.
Yep.
And he was like, "Yo, Deuces. I'm out of here. I'm about to go be, you know, where the people that I grew up, where everybody know my name. You know what I'm saying?
It was definitely giving cheers.
Yes,
right?
yes.
Sometimes you want to go. That's a good episode for.
That's
like,
a good episode.
We talk
about
maybe like, you know, dealing with grief. Death and transition,
yeah, we can talk
and stuff
about
like that. And just to wrap it up, adult children are sometimes not emotionally prepared to see their parents age, and this can make them avoid the responsibility of helping their aging parents.
Yeah.
Thus, putting off until life events make it mandatory. So I know we can see that too. I even see with my mom and her siblings, there's six of them, and they all are dealing with grandma differently.
Yeah.
You know, some just don't want to face the music. Yeah. Others are in denial. Others are very practical because they're coming from a nursing clinical standpoint. So they kind of see it from a different perspective, but it's also giving each other the respect and the space and the time to grieve and to deal with and accept it accordingly.
Can I be honest? Just real quick.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard for me with my grandparents, because that was the place I went to every summer in Tennessee.
You spent so much time with
them. Every summer,
like
8 weeks. And then so much of who I am is watching my grandfather and watching my grandmother. So there was a couple years where I noticed they were declining and I wasn't mature enough to understand what was going on.
So you avoided it.
I avoided it.
Yeah.
And my dad's like, you haven't been over in a couple of days. And I was like, oh, I got busy. And it wasn't just getting busy. It was the fear. And I think I've told you this.
Yeah,
that
you did.
If I go see them, this will be the last time.
Yeah.
That same thing with Pastor Boyd.
Yeah.
You know, Pastor Boyd lived four blocks away from us.
Mm-hmm.
And he would say all the time, Val, you haven't come see me. And I'd be like, oh, we'll come see you, Pastor Boyd. But it was a fear. And that was also a trauma response because I remember when I asked my mom to go see my grandpa Titty.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went to see him, he died the next day.
Yeah.
So it was just like a fear thing. So I understand when they say some adults. Yeah. And I sound so much more mature now dealing with my grandfather's past. Oh, DeVal is so mature.
Yeah.
No, I was not.
No.
I avoided seeing my grandparents for a long time because I didn't want to see them that way. I wanted to remember them when my grandfather would be outside racing with us in the cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
And my grandmother was driving us to the Boys and Girls Club. So I understand about not knowing how to deal with it. So I'm not, don't
not
shame
to face the music.
Adults who struggle with that, you know?
For sure. And adult children can become stressed while taking care of their aging parents. And with navigating the healthcare system, financial challenges, managing their own families, you know, adult children often feel like the burden of managing two households at once.
Yeah.
So, you know, giving each other grace as we try to navigate it, because I think ultimately at the root of all of this, it's care. It's care, it's love, it's wanting the best for all parties involved, and that intergenerational kind of mix of making sure that everybody is okay. All right, y'all, let's take a quick break and we're going to come back with listener letters. So stick around while we get into some ads. We'll be back.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. And get this. Near, yes, Near, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E because it's gentle on my skin. And down to the body cream, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, which is a modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Okay? It works in as little as 3 minutes, no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we're back.
All right, we're back. Let's just go on in. Do you want to go first, babe?
I'll go first, baby.
All right, let's do it.
Hi, Kadeen and Devala. Absolutely love the both of you and your beautiful family. Thank you so much. I have been a day one follower and contemplated writing in for years.
Happy glad you did. That's funny, Jinx.
Just a little backstory. We love backstories. Pause. That sounds kind of pause-worthy. But just a little backstory. My husband and I have been together since college. We met on campus in 2002, very similar to us, and instantly fell in love with each other. Similar backgrounds to yours. He is an American and I am Jamaican. Oh! He also played college basketball. We have been married 9 years, together 21. We have two beautiful daughters, 3 and 6. Before we got married, we struggled with cheating on his part. I always forgave him. We even broke up a few times, but always managed to get back together. The cheating did hurt, I won't lie, but I always got over it. Plus, I always had my guard up. When we got married, I told myself I would put my guard completely down and trust my husband. I wanted to go into our marriage with a fresh start. That didn't last long. I suffered with hyperemesis throughout my entire first pregnancy, and he worked a lot of overtime.
That's severe nausea and like
vomiting. Oh, you talked to me about that.
Yes. Yeah,
so didn't your like mom severe. Struggle with that? Or no, your mom had the ice and the itchy.
The itching, and she had like the overproduction of saliva, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
I put it in parentheses because I found out his overtime was not at work, but with another woman. Oh, damn.
The overtime. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
I found out he basically had a mistress that he has known for 8 years, plus multiple side chicks he often took to hotels. My first daughter was only a year old when I found this out, and it crushed me. I mean, a girl ended up in therapy for over a year. I was also postpartum at the time. That is a lot.
Double down.
Fast forward, we decided to work on our marriage and had another beautiful baby girl. Even though he claims he doesn't believe in therapy and only went to one session with me, I continued therapy and it helped for a bit. He told me he was going to cut all ties with this one particular woman, the mistress, but I recently found out that they are still communicating with each other.
Child,
he says there's nothing sexual and he has moved on and that they are just friends. All the old emotions have resurfaced and I do not trust him. Every time I find out he is still in communication with her, he promises to stop. My question is, will this be a never-ending cycle?
Yes.
Yeah, it does not have to be a never-ending cycle. Does him knowing her for all these years forever ties them? No. Can I ever fully trust him? You can only tell us that. Like, we can't tell you that, Ma. Mm. I feel like this lady is a thorn in my backside that just won't go away. Thank you so much for what you guys do halfway through your book. Do you want to give her some advice from a woman?
I mean, just based on what I'm reading here, he's just showing you time and time and time again who he is and what he is. And you're choosing to, I understand for the sake of your children and your marriage and loving someone, but he's clearly just using you at this point as a doormat, and he knows what he can and can't get away with, and he's going to get away with it. And yeah, not even willing to work on it, not willing to go to therapy. Like, don't believe in therapy, but you believe in having this relationship with the mistress. It's just giving. It's a no for me, dog.
Yeah, I know I like to play devil's advocate.
Go for it.
I can't.
Oh.
I got nothing.
You got nothing?
No, because it seems like she's trying on all fronts to do everything. Yeah. She's tried to be forgiving. She's given chances. She's been to therapy to work on herself.
Mm-hmm. He's giving lopsided.
Right, and we haven't heard anything that he's tried to do.
Right.
You know, like, to me, I like to play devil's advocate because I like to give people stuff to think about, but I have nothing to think about.
And we never encourage for folks to just, like, get up and leave or divorce and everything. We always want people to try to work things out and try to communicate and try to be open and honest. But it seems like he can't even be that with you after all these years. And it's like 21 years together, 9 married. Like, it's giving. He doesn't want to be there.
And the truth is, we've said this before, right? Like, marriage is not for everybody.
Right.
The only thing I can come up with is maybe he's trying to be something that he does not know how to be, and but he's doing a poor job at it.
Right.
But you don't have to live through that.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and if this was my sister, I'd be like, yo, what are we doing?
Right.
You have a village. You have a support system. Those children will be taken care of.
Right.
You know, they have a dope mom who's working on herself, so we're pretty sure. But also, you can't let your daughters watch you go through that. And then they're going to believe that that's what love looked like.
That's a very good point.
You know what
I'm
saying?
That's a very good point. Seeing mom hurt and upset. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. As a man, because I have sons, everything I do, I think about the thing my sons are watching. Mm-hmm. And if I let them think that this is okay to do, they're going to do that to someone else. Or if I let them think that it's okay for people to treat me this way, they're going to let people treat them that way. She has two daughters. You cannot stay in that situation and let them young women see that that's okay for you to live. So if it were me, if you're asking for advice, I would say, you know who he is. He showed you over the last 21 years. Mm-hmm. You've given him time and time. Baby, it's time to focus on you and them children. And don't sit here and asking how can you get over it. You don't have to get over it. You can move accordingly and be better. Do better for you and them girls. So,
love that. Good luck to you, sis. And thank you for copping that book halfway through. I love it. I love it. I hope you get some gems from that. All right. I'll move on to our second and last for this episode. Hey, Kadeen and Deval. It's not really a question nor something I need advice on, but just a heartfelt gratitude towards both of you
love
the love notes that you both continue to share, especially when the boys are included. I'm a huge fan of y'all, and from y'all's YouTube channel to becoming a member of Patreon, and I also follow y'all on Instagram. And let's not forget Kadeen's TikTok. Yes, y'all. My TikTok is a struggle chat, but I be there. You both have been an inspiration to my life, and I've taken notes on the things that might be useful on my end. I'm the oldest of my parents' 4 girls, and I can always relate to some things Jax is going through as the oldest child. Exactly. And Javelle and I being the oldest as well.
Facts.
There's like a special light around us oldest children, okay?
Yeah, because we dealt with the most from my parents. That's why.
May God's favor be upon you both and the boys, and so as the whole team. And no, you have a fan supporter living thousands of miles away, but we see y'all, Ellis's. Love y'all.
Oh, that's what's
and
what
y'all continue to share with us. Sending love, appreciation from American Samoa.
That's what's up,
that
man.
That is dope.
That's what's up,
to
man.
You all. Continue to be the light that the world needs. That is really, really
that's
nice.
What's up,
thank
man.
You so much. We appreciate that. Every time Tribble goes and sneaks in a little gratitude
I
letter
know.
Or something, because we don't expect it, but we love y'all, man.
We
all
do
over
love
the
y'all
world.
So much.
Y'all keep us going for sure, for sure, for sure. All right. If you want to be featured as a listener letter, you need some advice, or you just want to give us some love, you know what I'm saying? Go ahead and email us at deadassadvice@gmail.com.
That's deadassadvice@gmail.com.
And I'm kind of just really to piggyback on that. We've been doing this how many seasons now? This is season 13. So we've been talking about a lot of things, and there's some things that we may rehash or talk about, because think about season one, you know, the way we feel about some things from season one, we may feel differently now at season 13. But if you ever have like topics that we may have like missed or you'd love to hear us talk about, like we're open to that as well too. So I figure, let me just go out there and throw this out to y'all. Even if you write into deadassadvice@gmail.com, you can also just give us a, you know, a topic or two that you think might be helpful or useful or something you want to hear us talk about. We're always down for
or
that.
An update from something we talked about in season 1, 2 to 5 that you feel like, how is that going? Because we heard y'all. Kay and I talked about revisiting the sex episode because so many years ago we talked about it.
Yes.
That was 6 years ago.
Yes.
And we spoke about it in the early seasons because we were trying to figure it out and we were struggling. But now
this
we got
therapy,
to a point where we like, yo, we found our groove. So let's continue to let people know how we found a groove. So that's a perfect example.
Absolutely. All right, Moment of Truth time. We're talking parenting our parents.
Yeah.
What you got for a moment of truth today, baby?
My moment of truth is this, man. That's why I said in the beginning, I said it doesn't matter. The reason why I said it doesn't matter is because it doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter your race, religion, ethnicity. At some point, your parents, if they're still here, will become your children. And you will be responsible to take care of them the way they took care of you.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, put a plan in place.
Mm.
Right? Create a plan that's going to allow your parents to live a long, healthy, vibrant life so that you're not stuck with a burden because you put it off until the point where you can't anymore. And now you're stuck doing something you don't want to do. Be involved early. You know, you notice your parents aren't eating the right way. They're not exercising enough. They're not taking care of their mental health or sleeping or drinking enough water. Talk to them early. The same way you would talk to your kids.
Yep.
You know, mom, you're 50 something.
Yep.
You know, how about we try this? This way, when they're 70, you're not dealing with those health issues.
Yeah.
So put a plan in place with them early and let's get to work as a community.
Yeah. And if you see something, say something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like in that moment, we talked about being in this house. If somebody has like, an ailment or something coming on, we're quick to be like, let's go to a doctor. Let's go to a healthcare professional and see what this is and catching it early. I guess my moment of truth for me is kind of like a spiral off of the episode that we did about the sacrificial parent and that relationship, because though we talked about how our parents may have said, you know, they've sacrificed so much, and it's not necessarily a sacrifice, it's something that parents should be doing for their children. If I were to reverse the roles with us as the parent and thinking about that term sacrifice, it's not us necessarily sacrificing, but it's our role and our responsibility to make sure that our parents are okay.
Yeah.
So not looking at it per se as a burden, but like you said, by putting plans in place, making things actionable so that we're making the plans and that everyone's on the same page and we're moving as a cohesive unit and we're working on health together. It won't have to be a thing where someone is sacrificing.
That's
it's just
true.
What we want to do for our parents.
That's true.
Okay.
I like that.
All right, y'all. Be sure to follow us on Patreon. You can see exclusive Deadass Podcast content there. And you can find us on social media at Deadass the Podcast. I am Kadeen. I am.
And I am Devout. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And also pick up that copy of We Over Me, the counterintuitive approach to getting everything you want out of your relationship. Yes, it is a New York Times bestseller. And yes, we appreciate y'all picking up that book.
Absolutely. Deadass, y'all.
Cut. Deadass is a production of iHeartMedia Podcast Network and is produced by Denora Pena and Tribble. Follow the podcast on social media at Deadass the Podcast and never miss a thing.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.